top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die, only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
They think they can get away with murder.
This is gasoline.
But they didn't count on one thing.
Does he have any other relatives? Anyone else that could possibly help?
Who gave up your family when you joined the Legion?
I never give up my family.
He's trained to fight for his life. Now, he's fighting for revenge.
Just tell her Joshua's here with somebody I think she'd like to meet.
Sure you want to mess up that face, handsome?
They think it's a game.
Hey, I got 3-1 against Lionheart.
He's playing for keeps. But now, he's facing the ultimate challenge.
That's him. A born killer. Not some bum we picked off the street.
Well, this dude's already bad. 8 bodies.
I'll beat the guy. I have to.
The rules are simple.
There's no rules.
The stakes are high.
What I did tonight, I did for my family.
You win. You live.
Now what's it gonna be?
You lose. You die.
It's going to be simple.
Van Damme is...
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 323 of the Really Awful Movies Podcast. Lionheart with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Before we get started, I thought I'd broadly divide action heroes into two subtypes. I think it's kind of a bifurcated group. You got, on the one hand, the more sullen and cynical, surly types. You throw in your Steven Seagal into that category. And on the other side, you have almost a cheerful optimism, kind of Panglossian, everything is for the best. Throw in a little Voltaire reference for you there. Candide, everything that is for the best. Boyish charm, and I'd throw into that category Reb Brown from Strike Commando. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's certainly got a very... A very positive and relentlessly positive outlook in all the movies he's in, seemingly. And in the case of Lionheart, I believe this is the second film I've actually seen him in which he portrays a member of the French Foreign Legion. It's funny how you learn about things growing up. I mean, for me, the French Foreign Legion was something I'd read about, much like I had with the Red Baron in the World War I flying ace was through, of all things, the Peanuts comic strip, and Snoopy and Woodstock in the comic strip would frequently don clothing of historical epochs or eras or something, or characters. And I distinctly remember Snoopy being the World War I flying ace, the Red Baron, and flying around with his goggles and everything. And I also remember Snoopy donning the French Legionnaire's hat, which is essentially like a ball cap with a flap on the back. And they would reference the movie Beau Geste, which is a 1930s or 1940s movie about the French Foreign Legion. And it's so bizarre how things come to you, but apparently this fighting force is one to which you swear a kind of a fealty or an oath independent of the actual country of France. So normally you'd swear an oath, I guess in Canada it would be to the Queen or head of state in a constitutional monarchy, but in this fighting force, which comprises all the colonies and Commonwealth countries, I guess you could say, of France, you swear an oath to the actual force itself, which I think is pretty unique and kind of bizarre. So Legionnaire was, I guess, the other Jean-Claude Van Damme vehicle, which he played that type of soldier, and damned if I can remember a single part of that movie. So Lionheart, however, he's a soldier and he's stationed, I think it could be in Morocco, but it's been a couple days since I've seen this, apologies, but it should be said that there's very little esprit de corps in this particular, what would you call it, unit? Infantry unit of the French Foreign Legion. And he's run afoul of his superior and faces, court-martial, hard labor. I don't know what they would do for a back talk. And our man, Jean-Claude, has to, escape the clutches, because he faces, prison time for insubordination, and he has to escape the French Foreign Legion, and does so going out to sea and fleeing by boat and eventually getting picked up. Now, it's pretty weird. I was thinking also that, for better or for worse, Jean-Claude Van Damme is maybe the world's most famous Belgian. I was thinking about that as I had this job where I was working at a research center that focused on engineering and aviation research at one of the local colleges here. And one of my colleagues was from Belgium. And I was racking my brain and trying to come up with some other Belgians. And all I could come up with was René Magritte, the I believe he's the surrealist painter who did the pipe, C'est une pipe, is that the guy? I hope so. I hope I'm getting this right. I don't want to be culturally ignorant here, but René Magritte for sure. And then I was thinking Kim Clijsters is basically a tennis player. So that betrays my ignorance on the subject. But for better or for worse, this somewhat cornball, half, I think, French, half Flemish Belgian, so he can unite the two two solitudes of that country. He's a very optimistic and corny and friendly self in this movie. And he ends up as a stowaway aboard this ship. And he makes his way over to New York, almost like a latter-day immigrant to Ellis Island or that kind of thing. Of course, he's got no papers. And he's an illegal alien, or what they would call today a migrant. And he's left to fend for himself, but I guess anything is better than hard labor, in the French Foreign Legion. As he's wandering around, I guess one of the rougher boroughs, I'm going to call it the Bronx, I'm going to throw that out as a guess, he comes across, of all things, an underground fighting circuit, which is such a hilarious and idiotic staple of action films. I mean, you either have that, the likes of the Bloodsport or Kickboxer, it's a pit fighting tournament, or in this particular capacity, it's a street fighting tournament. And he is thrown into the fray and takes on one of the fighters. I think it's under a bridge as well, so it kind of speaks to how edgy and urban and the kind of urban decay that was happening still at the time. This would have been filmed in New York City. He plays Leon Gauthier, which really does sound like some kind of fall couture line, but gotta love these names. I mean, I'm talking about the other king of optimism, Reb Brown. He plays a character in Strike Commando called Mike Ransom. And that's a manly action hero, ass-kicking name, for sure. Jean-Claude in Bloodsport, a kickboxer, I can't remember, plays Frank Dukes. And that's also Put Up Your Dukes, even though it's spelled D-U-X. But that's a ass-kicking name. Leon Gauthier, yeah, it's maybe the guy who styles your hair. They quickly dub him Lionheart and throw him into this virtual, squared circle. I think that's the origins of squared circle, basically from bare knuckle boxing back in the 1880s. But the combatants fight one another, and the spectators form a squared circle around him and let the best man win. Now, Don King to Lionheart's Mike Tyson is this character named Joshua, who agrees to be a fixer for the young fighter with no means, no green card, no passport, no money, and fixes up a bunch of fights for him and becomes a sort of I guess, a guide to his new life, you know, under the table, earning in America, trying to achieve this sort of misbegotten American dream of sorts, I guess you could call it. And for some reason, I guess the pit fighting and underground fighting tournament pays rather handsomely, because he gets some pretty big payoffs in a that I think are probably unrealistic for this type of thing. Even in the lower rungs of the wannabe get to the UFC type level, you're bound to make maybe $3 to $6 a fight if you're lucky. And at least that those events are sanctioned, has a referee and maybe a doctor nearby. I always think of that Simpsons episode where Dredrick Tatum is fighting Homer Simpson, and they're shouting, "Somebody call a doctor," and Dr. Nick Riviera is sitting ringside yelling at Dredrick Tatum to kill him, kill him, and one of the funniest all-time moments in The Simpsons. But anyway, this pit fighting, unsanctioned fighting attracts all sorts of ne'er-do-wells and all sorts of people on the wrong side of all that's good, particularly a woman who's like the Dana White of this kind of ridiculous circuit, and who goes by the name The Lady. Forget her actual real name, or her birth name, but it's played by Deborah Renard, and who's, I think, a longtime soap opera actress, but who we covered, and Jeff just loves calling out this movie, Land of Doom. It's this insane, post-apocalyptic, ridiculous sandal and sand and dune buggy bozo movie with Deborah Renard as the lead character, repeatedly positing that she can take care of herself, I mean, to much comic effect. And there's a character in there who has a bazooka for some reason. I don't know why in a post-apocalyptic Mad Max world you would want to play a Greek stringed instrument. That's, I can't remember the why of that one, but it was a hilarious movie. And she, the Deborah Renard character, plays the lady and tries to get in the good graces of this Lionheart fellow, and even though he will have none of it, and he basically just wants to, and this whole plot is driven by this nonsense about Leon's niece, who no longer has a dad because her father, and that would be Leon's brother, is runs afoul of some evil drug syndicate. That's always the case, right? So he had some sort of Peruvian marching powder, cocaine issue, and ended up pushing up the daisies. A poor bastard. Cocaine kills, I guess. So this is really the means of propelling this plot forward. Hey, I didn't say this was Chinatown. This is just a way of getting Leon Gauthier from New York to L.A., which is probably cheaper to film, and getting him closer to his niece, and so he can help out his family. Although that would require, I think, heavy-duty money laundering, if not just paying her outright in cash. But we don't really delve into the particulars of how he's going to keep away from the prying eyes of the IRS and Border Patrol and immigration and all that kind of thing, but it doesn't really get into that. What's hysterically funny is the lady's partner in crime, which is Brian Thompson, whose jaw is so square it looks like he's got chewing tobacco perpetually shoved into his maw. But he, genre fans will love and know this guy from Hired to Kill, which is insane. A ridiculous action film where there's a bunch of mercenaries, the bulk of whom are bikinied and with giant tits, who are forced to storm a compound so they can take out a drug dealer. It's bad shit and bizarre and bonkers, and I highly suggest our listeners check it out. But he's also the uber villain and the antagonist to Sylvester Stallone in Cobra. And he plays, I believe, the Night Stalker, but that's the California serial killer, Richard Ramirez. He's the Night Slasher? It's been a while since I've seen Cobra, but Brian Thompson is an unmistakable figure. And he's kind of another Dana White-esque figure. And they basically see potential in our man Leon Gauthier, who's basically laying a whipping on a bunch of one-eyebrowed 80s, early 90s, leather-clad dummy goons, and he's just beating them to bloody pulps repeatedly. And there's really not much in the way of dramatic tension in this film, because you know that Jean-Claude is going to administer beatdowns to whoever comes within a 6-foot radius here, to throw in a topical COVID reference. But what really is hysterically funny about this film is just the places that these fights take place in. It's just absurd lengths with which the director decide to set up these mise-en-scenes. I mean, you've got one that is a squash court, which has to be some sort of cinematic first. If it isn't, I mean, that's saying something. I remember I used to play squash as a kid, but I stopped because it was ruining my tennis game. As I was a pretty damn good, and still am, I think, a pretty solid player. But man, that sport just it retools your forehand so that your swings, the ball trajectory goes down, and that's not really very good for a tennis player, because the best shots in squash are the ones just above that red line. But anyway, don't want to delve too deeply into that. But there's also Leon Gauthier fighting in a half-drained swimming pool, and one of the most absurd, nonsensical scenes you will see in an action film. And where they get these people to watch it sort of really pushes the boundaries of believability, because a lot of these people seem like upper crust, almost like sophisticates, and I don't know why they would be poking their nose in this unseemly underbelly of pit fighting and bare-knuckle boxing. But some of these guys are very dapper and donning suits, and the women are dressed to the nines, including, it should be said, the lady, who's just, I mean, she's pretty smoking as well. This might be the point of the podcast where I get to what I've learned in this film, because there's going to be a lot. I mean, nothing says badassery, I think, like chewing on a toothpick. I mean, that really conveys a certain John Wayne, stoic, ass-kicking, manly sensibility. I gotta say, also, I learned that the buddy aspect of Joshua, the fixer and the fight promoter, effectively, and Leon is tinged with all kinds of homoeroticism that makes it very bizarre and very funny and very odd. But especially when you have Jean-Claude Van Damme all in repeated butt shots and his musculature and everything, turning down the advances of the lady and insisting to hang out with in a hotel beside his buddy Joshua, and not really caring too much for the fair sex and their company. So I thought that was really odd. Another thing I learned was that Jean-Claude Van Damme's niece is very like Little Orphan Annie, kind of. I mean, she couldn't be any cuter. And God love him, he's always one to inject a little bit of pathos and a little bit of subtlety and a little bit of range into his acting in a way that, I mean, Seagal tries and fails miserably to do, and to varying degrees, Messrs. Schwarzenegger and Norris and Brown are incapable of. It's a large, broadly speaking, I think Jean-Claude Van Damme is probably the finest actor among the bunch. And there, he's just, again, his relentless positivity, he's just upbeat, he's just effortlessly charming. His fight scenes are pretty terrific, although I don't think this downward punching thing is too fantastic, but I like his spinning roundhouse kicks. They're great. And there's a certain crotch shot that he administers to a leather-wearing tough that's one for the ages and hysterically funny. This one is, much like some of his early 90s efforts as his career starts to transition. This is a bit of a Rotten Tomatoes bottom feeder, but I think it's unfairly critically maligned like a lot of these films. I think it's just fun as hell. It's just mindless, pure popcorn. There's nothing wrong with that, especially during COVID when we're all trying to find some solace and succor wherever we can. But it's just, I mean, his fight scenes are pretty terrific. There's one in particular that's in some sort of underground garage, and instead of the squared circle of comprising human beings and spectators, it's a bunch of vehicles, which is ridiculous, because it's an inevitability, I would think, cinematically, that someone be thrown through the windshield of one. Am I wrong here? I mean, just mental, just absolutely crazy. just one of the many, many fantastic fight scenes. Not to mention the fact that there's a couple of bozos coming over from the Morocco, I believe, or Algeria, the French Foreign Legion, and they're obviously looking for their AWOL man. And the denouement is so absurd because they just basically let Leon free, absent a court-martial, any sort of a reprimand, and just say, ah, you know, the guy misses his niece. Let's let him be, and the French government be damned. You know, it's such a nonsensical coda to this film. But I mean, when everything preceding it is pure gobbledygook anyway, in the style of canon films that were around at this time, well, what can you do? You put your brain in neutral, or you put it in reverse. Hell, I mean, that's an it's an analogy that people always say, neutral, but I think, yeah, maybe do go backwards even. And this one is just pure mindlessness. And as far as I'd say one of his better efforts. I think it's probably even better than Cyborg. You know, I say that he's a better actor than the other icons, the one-name icons like your Norris and Schwarzenegger. But he actually does have a connection to old Chuck, the Oklahoma-born ass-kicking black belt. You know, he actually worked as a bouncer at a bar that Chuck owned, and they apparently got along famously. And I think, much like Seagal, he's rubbed some people the wrong way, and that would be JCVD, I think, in his case, because of some cocaine problems. But I hope he's got those under control in his substance abuse, because he really is just a really, really cool dude. And I just have such fond memories seeing the likes of Kickboxer and Bloodsport, and just he's such a just a unmistakable figure and such a irreplaceable, I guess, icon, and is up there in the Mount Rushmore of action heroes. I mean, he's just the king in many ways. And sure, like, aspects of his record were a little bit spotty. I mean, being top drawer Belgian kickboxer is kind of like being the the guy with the best teeth in England. I'm not sure. It's like, no offense, I'm kidding there, but yeah, it's like, it's a small, flat country with a reputation for being extraordinarily dull, and he's definitely nothing but. And I would argue that the country is rather beautiful too. If you get a chance, you should go see Brussels, and Bruges is particularly stunningly beautiful. I had the chance to go there 5 years ago, and it's like, you know, this is a tangent, but hey, it's my show, and Jeff and I can talk about what we want. But the historical center is, I think, unmatched in all of Europe in terms of the sheer fairy tale beauty. So I'm doing some work for the Belgian tourist authority here, but go see Bruges, and hell, maybe watch In Bruges, the Colin Farrell movie, and see for yourself. I think it's Colin Farrell. Yeah, I hope so. In Bruges is JCVD, the muscles from Brussels, he's just a cool dude, and this is a pretty cool movie. I'm going to give this one a solid 3.25 out of 5. I just put a smile on my face, and mind-numbingly moronic at times, but you can't fault that kind of thing. I mean, my God, this is like top-drawer action for the most part, and the story really is a bit lacking, but who needs a story, really, when you've got an underground fighting tournament? Anyway, be sure and check out her book. A quick plug here. Mine's Bigger Than Yours, The 100 Wackiest Action Movies. If you can guess the title that inspired that, our book title, or the film that did, let us know. That'd be really cool. And a shout out to my pal Veronica in California. She's killing it with her site, Biohazard Babies. So for those of you who are looking for a Christmas gift, who are, you know, fans of this show and like genre cinema, particularly horror, she makes these pretty unique and grotesque, creepy dolls. And I know a lot of you like those kind of things. And I mean, you gotta love a good creepy doll, regardless of whether it's Annabelle or a Chucky or anything. But get yourself, go to her site, check out her stuff, Biohazard Babies. And I will talk to you soon. And we'll have a lot more action on the docket coming up as we round out the rest of the year. Take care.